Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Okay, bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We are ready to go ahead and get started inshallah with another session of Ramadan FAQs where we are answering the questions that you all have during the month of Ramadan. I hope and pray, inshallah, everyone's having a good Ramadan so far. Apologize for the little bit of delay there, but inshallah, let's go ahead and get started and jump right into it. So, the first question that we have in regards to the month of Ramadan, it's a Ramadan-related question, and that question is that I feel like my Ramadan has been busy with work and family and I haven't connected to Allah as much as I could have. What can I do about it now with just a few days left? That's a very good question. And it's actually a question that I hope people ask that question. I look forward to that question because it's a very powerful opportunity for us to be able to remind ourselves that it's a very important opportunity for us to be able to remind ourselves that it's about quality and not quantity. That it doesn't matter how late or how early one has their realization, one comes to their senses, if you will, someone is able to reconnect. It's really about the fact that at some point before time is up, we are able to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it only takes a moment. It only takes a moment. It only takes one instance, one second, one moment of sincerity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي. Then you ask me for forgiveness once. The Hadith Qudsi says, Allah says in a Hadith Qudsi. So it doesn't matter if there's just a few days left. That's all we really need. That's all we've ever needed. And so this is a trap of our own limited thinking and understanding and limiting the mercy of Allah that we think that, oh, there's just a couple of days left. No. You just need one moment, just one second. So I think you should be very grateful that you had this realization before the month of Ramadan is over. And I would urge you to make the most of the opportunity with the time you have remaining. Okay, there's an Eid-related question. Practical tips to celebrate Eid when still in complete quarantine. So again, I understand there might be different circumstances, different places. In a lot of our communities over here, we now have the ability to be able to congregate and get together and things like that. Places where that is possible, I would sincerely advise, I would urge people to take whatever precautions you need to take, but go and be a part of the community. It's important for our spiritual well-being that we are able to connect with the community as precautiously as necessary, but still connect with the community. All right. Now, if you are in a particular place, if you're in a situation where that's not possible yet, then in that situation, in that circumstance, some practical tips are, first and foremost, there is an article a paper that we published from Qalam that talks about how to, you know, approach the issue of Eid and Eid time when, you know, someone is, you know, dealing with this kind of a pandemic or a situation, then how can you basically deal with the Eid prayer? All right, and practical tips to celebrating their Eid. So we have a paper here called Eid Prayer During the Pandemic. I'm going to be sharing the link in the comments, inshallah. So please do take a look at that paper that we had published. It's called Eid Prayer During the Pandemic. I will post it in the comment section. And there's a lot of practical tips and advice within there, okay? So please do check that out. I've also posted in the comments on the Qalam Facebook page and the Qalam YouTube channel. So you can check it out. It's also on my Facebook page. So you'll be able to find it there, inshallah. Okay. So that'll deal with a lot of the practicalities, particularly regarding prayer and things like that. Other than that, the practical tips that I would give is that try to find some way, whatever the way is, whether it's outdoors, whether it's stopping by and dropping something off or picking something up or calling people or FaceTiming people, but just try to connect with people. فَإِنَّهَا أَيَّامُ أَكْلٍ وَشُرْبٍ وَبِعَالٍ. These are days of celebration. And so there needs to be a celebratory, you know, kind of feeling to the day of Eid. So much so, these are such powerful and beautiful days, important days of celebration, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually forbade fasting on these days. So you can't fast on Eid. It's not permissible to fast on the day of Eid. All right. We have some questions that are Quran related. So someone's asking, I was wondering what the rules were for storing the Quran, keeping the Quran. Okay, I was taught that I had to be kept in the highest point in the room. Nothing could be put on top of it. You couldn't sit with your feet facing it, and you couldn't sit higher than someone reading it. Is that accurate? Are there any other rules for the maintenance of the Quran? So this is an interesting issue, okay? Because again, technically speaking, none of those things that you mentioned there are required. None of those things are required. None of those things are sinful, right? So you don't have to put it on the highest point within the room, okay? Technically speaking, there's nothing wrong with placing something on top of it. Technically speaking, you know, if someone's feet are pointed in that direction, there's nothing prohibiting that, okay? Someone sitting on the ground and reading and you need to sit on a chair, you can absolutely do that, okay? Etc. However, there is the issue of respect though. Okay, now these aren't rules because it varies from culture to culture, society to society, but we at the same time can't deny that respect does play a role. Okay, there's technically no rule that, you know, if, you know, my mom is sitting on the ground that I shouldn't sit on a chair. There's no rule saying that. But I don't feel right doing that. If my mom's sitting on the ground, I'm going to tell her to take the chair. Or if she refuses to take the chair, then I'll just sit down on the ground next to her. I know that. I understand that. That's a practical reality. So respect is something that's very important. And it plays a role in our relationship with things. Our emotions, our sentiments, our feelings, our the respect that we feel for something. And the Quran is the word of God. There's the ultimate reverence for the Quran. So for that reason, if somebody abides by, operates in this manner, like I can tell you about making sure it's the highest place thing in the room, that's not something that I particularly relate to, okay? That's fine. That's okay. You know, I have a lot of books here in my library, and the Quran might be on the second shelf, and there might be something else on the top shelf, right? And those cups are there, but that's not something that upsets me. That's not something that bothers me. I do not feel like that is compromising on the respect of the Quran. However, at the same time, though, placing physically something on top of the Quran, I don't like doing that. I don't like doing that. It's just me. Okay, so this Mushaf is sitting on my desk. So when I place it here, I never put nothing else on top of it. That's just how I feel. Now, I'm not saying that's a rule. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm not saying you're going to be sinful if you do that. But that's just how I roll. Okay, one thing that I'm particularly sensitive about, maybe it's, you know, the generation that I'm from. You know, I studied abroad. I studied overseas. So maybe that is where I picked it up from. But one other thing that I'm particularly sensitive about is pointing your feet towards something. So if I see that a Quran is sitting over there, I'm not comfortable pointing my feet towards it. That's just me. So I'm trying to create the balance that I cannot walk up to somebody else and say, you're sinful for doing that, haram, what are you doing? That's wrong. I can't do that. But number two, if I do feel uncomfortable doing those things and I don't do them, somebody else walking up to me and saying, hey, why don't you point your feet towards the Quran? Don't you know that's not a thing? Yeah, it's not a thing, but that doesn't mean I have to. There's no narration saying it's obligatory for me to point my feet towards the Quran. No, it's my way of showing love to something I love. And that's completely okay. So I hope that that helps. All right. There's a lot more questions. There's some questions regarding Salah and worship. Let me deal with these because, again, these are the last few days and nights of the month of Ramadan. So I think that it's important to deal with these kinds of things. How far can we join the prayer in the first rak'at for it to be considered praying the full rak'at? If you get the imam in the ruku'ah, right? So if you come and join the prayer and the imam is still in ruku'ah, then you got the whole prayer. I mean, you got that whole rak'ah, excuse me. You got that rak'ah. If you get there after the imam has gotten up from ruku', you did not get that rak'ah. Can we sleep facing the qibla, like feet towards the qibla? Again, there's no rule prohibiting it. There's no definitive rule, narration and ruling prohibiting it. But again, it just goes back to what somebody feels comfortable with and what they don't. All right. So can you? Yes. Should you? You have to ask yourself that. All right. When entering a masjid, should I pray sunnah of the prayer being led or prayer to greet the masjid? I think I understand the question. Someone's saying that if I walk into the masjid, and I'm coming into the masjid for Dhuhr prayer. Now there are some sunnahs before Dhuhr, and then there's also the prayer for greeting the masjid, Tahiyyatul Masjid. So should I do Tahiyyatul Masjid or the prayer that is the sunnah of Dhuhr? The interesting thing is, because both are optional, you can actually combine the intention together. So you can do the four before Dhuhr, but just make it for the intention that this is also you greeting the masjid, Tahiyyatul Masjid. For optional prayers, you can combine intentions together into the same deed and the same action. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab, and Allah knows best. Someone's asking the question, is it a requirement for women to cover their hair while reading the Quran? No, it is not. No, it is not. Again, it's kind of a cultural thing, but it is not a requirement. All right, wallahu ta'ala alam. That is something that is specific to prayer, and reciting of the Quran is not salah, it's not prayer. Okay, the next question is, for nafl prayers, do we need to make an intention? That's a very good question, actually. Very good question. Technically speaking, it's valid if you don't make an intention, because it's an optional nafl prayer. But you can make an intention if you want, okay? But you don't necessarily even need it because it's optional. It's open-ended. All right. Someone said, how many intentions can be combined for the prayers? In optional nuffle prayers. Again, optional nuffle prayers, as many as you want. God is great. And Allah's mercy is all-encompassing. Inna rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. All right. Someone said, my mom has not been fasting this Ramadan due to health reasons, and she seems very low. How can we cheer her up? Okay. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give your mother shifa. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give her strength, and may Allah make it easy for her and for all of y'all. This is a very serious issue, folks. I feel like folks don't take it seriously enough. That our elders, particularly we have some of our elders, who, mashallah, tabarakallah, may Allah bless them. They are so dedicated and so devoted and so committed to their worship of Allah. You know, and then, you know, and just think about it. Somebody who's fasted 60, 70 Ramadans in a row, right? And then all of a sudden they're at a point where they can't fast. And usually it's at the point in their lives where they're not like really busy with a lot of other things. So there isn't a whole lot much to do. And then they can't even fast while they don't have anything else to do. It's just it's very tragic. It's very heartbreaking for them. It's very hard on them. So please be kind and be empathetic and be, you know, gracious. That's what Allah says. You know, to waqfid lahuma janaha dhulli min ar-rahma. Be kind and gentle with them when they're old. And so how can you cheer her up? You know, doing things, you know, where maybe you try to, you know, you recite Quran together as a family, you know, or, you know, try to celebrate the khatam of the Quran, you know, little things like that. You know, if, again, I'm not sure what the possibilities are, but taking, you know, them to maybe the masjid or something like that so that they can kind of enjoy that, or trying to bring some of that excitement to them. You know, my father's not able to go to the masjid even. So I go to him and I recite Quran to him. So, you know, try to basically just lift their spirits and understand what they want, what they need is that sense of Ramadan, that sense of connection. So try to create that spiritual environment for them. And that's a really big thing that you can do for them. May Allah make it easy. Okay. Someone's asking a very good question. Our friend Harris is asking a question, saying in Surah Ar-Rahman, when Allah says which of Allah's favors will you deny? In Surah Ar-Rahman, when it says which of Allah's favors will you deny, it says it فَبِأَيِّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, right? Which of Allah's favors would both of you deny? Why does Allah use the dual form, both of you? Who's both of you? Both of you is the ins wal jinn. It's talking to human beings and also the jinn. Another creation of Allah that is also sentient, that is also mukallaf, that also has obligations and responsibilities and is accountable to Allah. That's about all I am willing to say on the topic of jinn. So I'm not going to go any further into it. Any jinn-related follow-up questions will not be answered. All right? One of our teachers, you know, always used to tell us that, you know, there are some of these kinds of topics that once they come up, it just destroys any other discussion that's going on. All right. Someone saying, what is the difference between tahajjud and taraweeh? Very good. Tahajjud is year-round. Taraweeh is a prayer that is specific to the month of Ramadan. And they are not mutually exclusive. So you can be doing taraweeh and still do tahajjud later that night. But taraweeh can only be done in Ramadan, while tahajjud is year-round. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Do we need to sleep in order to pray tahajjud? No, we do not. No, we do not. And someone asked, what is the best way to spend the last few days, since people are saying the 27th night is past and not as motivated? Subhanallah, right? I was just talking about this earlier, that the month of Ramadan is still here, folks. all those blessings we talked about, all the multiplying of deeds and all the prayers being accepted and all the du'as being answered, that is still completely all of it in full effect. So, yeah, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to miss out on any last opportunities. I want to have all my du'as answered. I want to get as much of the reward as I can. So, yeah, even if there's an hour left, an hour, a minute is enough to have our sins forgiven. So why would you sleep on a couple of days? Subhanallah. All right. Let's see here. Someone said during tahajjud prayers, excuse me, is it preferable to make dua in sujood or is it the same as dua outside of the prayer? Either dua is good in the sujood or outside of the prayer. Either way is fine, whatever you are more comfortable with. Someone asked, if you don't remember what age you reached puberty, what age should a male estimate for Islam? So I think this is in regards to the obligations of worship. So the average age that one can basically kind of go with is 15. 15 would be that age from where they could calculate what their obligations were. Wallahu ta'ala alim bisawab, and Allah knows best. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Someone is asking, I missed a fast in Ramadan since I was traveling. When I make it up, can I combine the niyyah for the sunnah fast of Shawwal? Okay. So generally speaking, the person saying that if I have a makeup fast of Ramadan, which is an obligation, can I combine the intention along with, you know, an optional fast, like the fasting of Shawwal? Generally speaking, the answer is no. The majority of the scholars say no, you cannot combine between an obligation and an optional act. Their intentions cannot be combined. There are some scholars who made an exception for Muslim women, for the sisters particularly, because they will miss so many fasts in the month of Ramadan that is outside of their control, so that to kind of make it a little bit easier for them, they could basically combine that intention and get that double reward, fulfill their obligation and get the reward of Shawwal. So they made an exception for sisters. Some scholars did. I personally do find merit in that position. However, generally speaking, the scholars say no, a qada fast is still obligatory and you cannot combine that intention together with the optional fast. Wallahu ta'ala alam bisawab. Someone asking, can we use Quranic du'as in sujood? Yes, you can. That confusion arises from the fact that the Prophet ﷺ said not to recite the Quran in ruku' and sujood. But reciting is different than saying a du'a that just happens to be from the Quran. You understand the difference between the two. All right. Someone's asking a question that I think is a very, very good question. Is it okay to do dhikr while doing other things, on a walk, cleaning the house, driving, etc.? Even if my mind is not on the words I'm saying, I know it is better to be fully present when I make dhikr, but is there a benefit in doing so while physically doing something else too? Even if I'm not always concentrating on what I'm saying, yes, of course, there is absolutely still benefit in it. And I would say it doesn't have to be either or. Just make a few moments, a few minutes every day where you will focus on what you're saying. But then the rest of the time when you're doing the other activities, instead of just talking nonsense or listening to music or just wasting your time, right? Making dhikr, even if it seems like a little bit kind of like in the background, so to speak, but that's still a better use of your time. And it's still the name of Allah and it will still give you benefit. Inshallah, bidillah. Someone said, can I make dua in English during salah? So there's a difference of opinion on that. In the fard obligatory prayers, no, you should not. In the optional prayers, some scholars say you can, some say you it's better not to. I personally incline towards a position I would recommend to not make dua in English during the actual salah, even if it's an optional prayer like tahajjud prayer, but rather just make it right after the prayer. Because the Prophet ﷺ did say that أَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى فِي دُبْرِ كُلِّ صَلَاتٍ. The Prophet ﷺ said that increase your du'as and supplications at the conclusion of prayers. Abdullah bin Masood, يَحْمَلُوا حَوَائِجَكُمْ عَلَى الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. Make du'a after your prayers, your fard obligatory prayers. So you can make it right after the prayer. Someone's asking, will you be saving this live for future reference? Yes. They're all saved here on the Instagram account that you're watching from. So you, there's a playlist as well. You can watch them all there. And for folks that are, another option is also you can go to the Qalam YouTube channel. The Qalam YouTube channel, I just always recommend people there because you just have a lot of flexibility to be able to play it, pause it, come back to it, speed it up. As my good friend Tahreem, who just came into the comments, does, unfortunately. He watches these sessions on like double speed, and then he records a video of it, and then he sends it to me so that I can hear what I sound like at twice the speed. I'm not sure what he's trying to tell me, but I hope something good, because Tahreem's a nice person, and I love Tahreem, so I hope he's saying something nice about me. All right, so with that, as y'all can probably tell, I'm pretty much done with the session now, all right? Once I start messing around, joking around, then we pretty much know that the session is over, okay? Now everybody comes with the questions. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The moment I say, all right, guys, I'm going to wrap up, I'm done now, then all of a sudden I see like 8 questions popped up. What? Okay. Harris, I thought we were friends. What is the legal status of Zakat al-Fitr? Is there a compensation for it if it is missed? Okay. Zakat al-Fitr, we're going to be posting a video about it, so keep a lookout for that. Zakat al-Fitr is mandatory. Zakat al-Fitr is mandatory. If you missed it, you still owe that amount. You still got to pay that amount, but you kind of missed the window for it. So just make tawbah, ask Allah for forgiveness, but still pay that amount. How can I make my 12-year-old enthusiastic to fast in Ramadan? When is it actually fard on him to fast as he hasn't reached puberty yet? When he reaches puberty, that's when it will be fard on him. Otherwise, 15 is kind of like the default age, okay? How do you get him excited, enthusiastic? Again, try to incentivize it, you know, giving gifts, acknowledging it, appreciating it, you know, turning it into kind of a festive occasion, a celebration, little kind of like iftar get-togethers with friends and family, little things like that, just like how we motivate them for anything. Try to use, all those different tactics, and may Allah make it easy. May Allah, it's a tough, thing, and it's a responsibility we have, but inshallah, hang in there. Kids are, he's probably a good kid. Mashallah, you've raised him well. So just hang in there, keep trying, and inshallah, he'll come around. Someone's asking the question, is it okay to have Quran recitation playing in the background at home while doing things throughout the day? So interestingly, the narration is more about إِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ, when the Quran is being recited live, as opposed to an old recitation playing. So it's not the same thing. So technically, it's a little bit more flexibility with that, number one. And then number two, again, I like to think about what it is replacing. And as long as you make some time to actually read the Quran or listen to the Quran attentively, but, at the same time, though, I think it's okay, especially if you're playing like old recordings from like YouTube and stuff. Is it mandatory that we pay it ourselves? Is it Zakat al-Fitr? Yes, it is. But if somebody pays on your behalf and you're okay with it, that's fine. But otherwise, you should take care of it yourself. Someone said, I have a question regarding the beginning of Ramadan. My understanding was that if you get a shahada about the moon sighting, then that's the start of the month, whether that's Ramadan or Eid. Okay? I'm not sure where the question is in there. Okay. I think it just came through now. If we have two different dates for Ramadan and Eid, doesn't that mean that there will be two dates for Laylatul Qadr? Shouldn't the Ummah show a united front, whether it's Eid or Ramadan? Well, the Ummah should be doing a lot of things. Right? The Ummah should be doing a lot of things. You know, the Ummah should be showing a united front when it comes to Masjid Aqsa. The Ummah should be showing a united front when it comes to Palestine, when it comes to our brothers and sisters in China, when it comes to Kashmir and Afghanistan and Iraq. And, you know, the list goes on and on and on, all the places. So there's a lot of things. But I'm not making light of your question, brother. It's a good question. I just think that, you know, these are complicated kind of things. And we, hopefully, things get better. Sooner rather than later, inshallah. Now, what about Laylatul Qadr? Inna rahmatullahi wasi'a. God's mercy is vast, and inshallah, Allah will give everyone the reward of Laylatul Qadr based on their intention. Is Qiyamul Layl in congregation permissible? Difference of opinion. Difference of opinion. In the month of Ramadan, most say that it's acceptable, but outside of Ramadan, some say it's okay. Some say that it is not okay. It's kind of an even split. The Hanabila, the Ahnaf, they say it should not be done outside of Ramadan. The Shafi'iyya, the Malikiyya say it can be done. Wallahu ta'ala. Okay, do I need to pay fidya for missed fast in Ramadan or later is okay too? I'm not sure exactly about the question. So if you're able to elaborate. All right. Could we pray sunnah prayer before Asr? Before Asr, yes. After Asr, no. Before Asr, yes. And after Asr, no. All right. Very good. And so I wasn't sure exactly about the fidya question, but nonetheless, hopefully, inshallah, you're able to tune in. We're going to be having a couple of more of these as we have a couple of days left in the month of Ramadan. I'll be doing it tomorrow, and inshallah, tentatively, we'll confirm with it by posting it on the social media outlets. But tentatively, on Tuesday, we've gotten a number of questions that have accumulated that are related to women's fiqh. And so, as we did last time, once before, I'll be having Ustada Atifa on, you know, the session to be able to, inshallah, help us answer the questions. So keep a lookout for that as well. As always, inshallah, remember Qalam and everyone at Qalam and all the work we're doing at Qalam. Remember it in your du'as today, tonight, these last few days and nights, and also contribute to the work we're doing. Plant your seed of sadaqah jariyah. Go to supportqalam.com, support the work that Qalam is doing. Forward the link to others as well. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.